Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Show your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
You just gotta be quiet.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up?
What a bad beat.
Boo!
By the way, we need an investigation because Tennessee knew the line on that game.
God bless America.
Would you care to explain why you and Buckley are livid right now?
Yes. So Buckley and I were on Texas against Tennessee.
Yeah.
We had them plus 9.5 and plus 10. And they were down 9.
Yeah.
With 8 seconds remaining.
Eight.
Tennessee inbounding the ball.
To just dribble it out.
Oh, no. Actually, they weren't inbounding the ball. They had got a rebound off a miss.
Game's over.
And they were going to dribble it out. And the Texas coaches were saying, don't foul, don't foul. Well, the dip-ass fouled. And he made both free throws, and they couldn't get a shot off it for whatever reason in the
because
last
Because Tennessee
seconds.
Decided playing defense was important
let me ask
with
you
2 seconds left.
This is what I'm wondering. So the bro from Tennessee hits the two free throws to go up by 11, and there's 8 seconds left. So I'm thinking, hey, you guys are probably okay because Tennessee won't play defense. Texas will go down and get a garbage layup or get an open look at a three. Texas picked him up, or Tennessee picked him up like full court.
Yeah.
They were slapping the floor. Why are they playing defense up 11 with 8 seconds?
Send a message. The SEC just means more.
No, they got money on
it. I think Tennessee knew the number.
They knew the number.
I think Tennessee knew the number. Oh, boy, that is a bad beat right there.
Damn it.
That is a bad beat.
Well, you know what? It happens.
Ooh. I have a buddy who's an SEC grad, and he thinks that down there a lot of these coaches, both football and basketball, like know the number and are trying to win for their cover for their fan bases.
I think that's a dumb theory, but
I love it.
Okay.
Well, Saban especially when he used to be at the helm.
I will say it happened on the show 2 years ago, right? Oregon was playing. No, was it this year they played Texas Tech?
No, it was two years ago.
No, it was 2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago, they were playing Texas Tech. And that was a tight game.
That was the Bossa?
That was, yeah.
Pick, no slide, slide, no slide?
So Oregon was favored, I think, by, I don't know, 6.5, something like that. Maybe a touchdown. And I was like, oh, that's cake. So I had Oregon and was sweating it out. And they were up by 5 or 6 or whatever. And that was the strip sack. And Bossa picks up the ball. and starts running, and he hurdles over the quarterback, and I'm like, oh my God, he's just going to fall down because he doesn't need to score.
And Lanning's yelling at him, go down, go down.
Yeah, Lanning's telling him to go down, game's over. He doesn't listen. He rumbles, stumble, bumbles, goes into the end zone, touchdown, the cover. And so when Lanning came on, I brought it up. I said, hey, I saw that you were telling your guy to go down. You know, some of us needed him to not go down. And Lanning started smiling. He goes, oh, I'm aware. So at least from that standpoint, Dan Lanning knew that that was a big deal to gamblers. So I don't know if every coach is aware or someone told him afterwards. People know.
I think they know the spreads, but I don't think it crosses their mind when they're coaching.
Probably not, but maybe at the end of the game when you have it sealed up, I could see like some big booster like, hey, coach, just you know, say if you're blowing them
like,
out.
We're backing you in more ways than one.
Well,
I just watching you two go through the emotion. This is why gambling is great, because I don't have a vested interest in this, although I do have BYU +7.5 coming up against Houston. The highs and lows of gambling, because that should have been a win. You were on the right side.
The reality is, see, I don't look at that as should have been a win. I look at that as I did not make a good wager because it was right on the number.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was 9 or 11.
It was a coin flip.
It was a coin. The
which
odds
doesn't make it good.
It doesn't make it a good bet, right? Yeah. Like the odds makers had that one pretty much right. Begged. I thought they had it wrong. I was wrong. Yeah. So therefore I deserve to lose. That's how I look at you. This. Yeah.
That's a very mature
way to handle it. For every one of those you lose, well, maybe for every two of those you lose, you win some too. You get lucky on the other side. It's just you know, they come and they go.
Yeah.
But that would have been nice to win. We would have been 2-0 on the day heading into the night sesh.
Yeah.
Now we're just 1-1.
Yeah, but just to know that it was there.
I know.
You know, the coaches are telling him to not foul.
Yeah, I know.
And it's 9 and you win.
It's amazing. I was telling you this yesterday because you guys, everybody's, you know, we're ramping up our college basketball viewing now.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot this year, mainly because I'm betting on it.
Sure.
But it's, you know, it's just, betting's a good way to really get into a sport.
Absolutely.
You know. But I will tell you, these college kids are morons. I mean, the more you watch, the more boneheaded crap you'll see.
Yeah.
And these coaches, there's a reason why none of the coaches have hair. I mean, these kids, they don't know what the hell's going on out there.
Well, and that's the problem is that when you are betting on children, you are going to get some erratic.
That's right. A lot of variance.
A lot of erratic spikes. So,
wow, Justin Thomas is 500. Wait a minute. Buckley, am I seeing that right?
What?
Well, I turned on the golf.
Is he on a heater all of a sudden?
He must be. I left the house today. He was 4 over. Now they're saying he's 5 under.
I'm guessing you have some sort of play on Justin Thomas.
Oh. I didn't play him this weekend, but I was thinking earlier to myself, I'm glad I didn't play him this weekend. Well, now I'm pissed I didn't. You know how that goes.
Oh, my God.
Is he 9 under today?
He's 11 under on the day.
Oh, my Lord.
He went 31 out. He has 6 birdies on the back, and he's playing 18 right now.
So he's playing for what's par there?
Course record? 72.
He birdies, he shoots 60?
That's right.
Good gravy.
Good hell.
My goodness.
What if a buttery is like a buttery 63, what is a 60?
It's like a scorched earth 60.
I don't even know.
Sizzling 60?
I was going to say, 60. That's nice. Something. That's not buttery. That's something entirely different. That's scorched earth.
Well, listen.
That's that red hot fajita pan that comes out at the Applebee's.
Don't touch.
don't touch that plate.
We have buried the lead here, okay? We have to tell you about something big that's going down today.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Harrington will be here at 5:30. He will be in studio today.
In studio.
And the reason he will be in studio, he's not here yet.
No.
But when he shows up, he's going to show up early today.
Mm-hmm.
And we have already done the legwork. Because it's raining outside.
Yeah.
So inside our building here in Northwest Portland, Joey Harrington today, we have set up the course. We have measured the course. He will attempt to speed walk the 40-yard dash in under 10 seconds. Yeah. It will not be live on the air. However, we will have him do it right before his segment.
Turns out... at a radio studio, we lack the capabilities of live broadcasting from the hallway.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted like a lot, you know, like a wireless and like
We were told no.
Stunningly,
yeah, we don't.
We can't make that happen.
That's not in the budget, so.
An Odyssey station.
So we will do it. We'll do it right before the segment, yeah. And then bring it to you live.
But we're all set up for it.
Yeah.
We have a perfect place for it in our vast hallways, mm-hmm. here.
Sales is very excited.
Sales doesn't know what the hell we're doing.
Well, as we had kind of marked off the course, and then we took a practice run ourselves. There was a lot of what you were doing, and all I could say was, it's something idiotic, yeah. And you probably don't need to worry about it.
I just told them we're doing bits.
Yeah.
Well, and we asked if they wanted to be a part of it. We were kind of met with a...
Yeah, no. They're like, no.
No.
You childish morons, no chance.
But some of the ladies, when we told them that Joey Harrington was coming in, all of a sudden, yeah. They perked up a little bit.
They're lined up at the front door.
Yeah. Well, a couple of them are ducks.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, yeah.
And Joey, you know, he's a handsome fella.
So Joey, I don't even remember why this came about.
Because he was at the combine talking about 40 times.
He was at the combine,
right?
And then we were talking about running, and Joey can't run. He's got like the bad knee and all that, and he was like, well, I could walk a 40. That led to us having the conversation of what could you walk a 40 in, and all of a sudden Joey's making bold proclamations that he could walk a 10 flat 40, and so yeah. Here we go.
Well, and it was something I was prepared to let go.
Yeah.
But he kept pushing. He's are we doing this?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well. So he's coming in today to do it. Well, he'll do it before the show, and then when he comes on the air live, we'll tell you how he did, and we'll have video and everything for
you. This is what I'm saying. They're in, like, every athlete still, no matter how old you get, you have a little competitive itch there, and he seemed to be legitimately bothered by thinking that he couldn't run or walk a 10 flat 40. And you're right. This is all him. He did push this agenda.
Well, I've told you this before, but I was... somehow roped into the Battle at Bandon.
Yes.
His charity event.
Yeah, I remember that a number of years ago.
Yeah, when we were on CSN.
What school did you represent
again?
I was
UCLA.
Which is very odd, but all right. I know.
Well, they had a cancellation. Yeah, so they needed somebody to step in.
They brought in the lefty. You came out of the bullpen.
So I got lucky. I was with Jason Capono, mm-hmm. and is it Jordan Farmer?
Jordan Farmer, yeah.
And he was great.
Yeah.
Great dude. Actually, they both were really nice guys. And anyway... We got to the back nine. Well, you played nine holes against other... You'd switch every nine holes who you were playing against.
Sure.
And we got to the back nine at the original Bandon course, and we played the Ducks, and it was Joey. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. That dude is competitive as hell.
He was ready to go.
He was not... Yeah, I've seen it in you. Yeah. I've seen it in...
It happens every now and then.
I played golf with Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
I see this in these people who are competitive to a degree that I don't... really understand. Like, I don't have that. I'm pretty competitive, but not like that.
Yeah.
Joey has that, mm-hmm. and I've seen it firsthand on the golf course, and I'm guessing we're going to see that today.
Yeah. Like, I've tried to beat that out of me, because I don't like that version of myself. It's just, competitive people in general aren't the best people to hang out with.
Oh, dear.
And you can try, but you can't. Oh, right.
He put it in the water.
In the drink.
I'm watching hoops.
Justin Thomas.
Oh. Yeah.
He needed a par to break the course record, and he put it in the damn water.
Right in the drink.
Like a doofus. Jeez. Like I would do. What is this?
So he's only going to shoot a 61 or a 62? That loser.
So what's your new insult? Dunkhoff? Dunkhaus? What is it?
Oh, Dunkhoff?
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it's been popping up in my head. I kind of like it.
It's from the Simpsons. In The Simpsons, they have a German guy that calls, but yeah, Dunkhoff, hurry up. I have no idea what it means, but it aired on The Simpsons, so it can't be that bad, you know. So there's one. Yeah, that's...
Well, anyway.
I heard, oh, no, and then I saw...
He put it in the water, and he almost hit a crane.
Yeah.
A bird.
You know, it would have been better had it hit the crane. It wouldn't have gone in.
Yeah.
That crane should have taken one for the team.
Maybe he's a Rory fan.
Mm. Damn bird.
Well, anyway, we'll let you know when Joey gets here.
Yeah.
The course is set up. It'll be really easy. We're gonna tape it, video, and everything for you right before his segment. So when he comes on at 5:30, you will know whether or not he can run or walk. Sorry,
yes.
Speed walk, a 40, sub 10-second 40. Now I will say I tried it, and I walked a 12.
Yeah,
12 something.
A 12.58 for Isaac.
Yeah, 12.58. So I think it's gonna be close.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's gonna be a breeze.
No,
but I would I think he's gonna take it seriously. And I don't know. I think it's going to be nip and tuck. It's going to be right there.
All right, so tune in to 5:30 for that. Coming up next, today in March Madness on The Fan. The listeners all over it, they are telling us that in German, Dummkopf means like dumbhead or blockhead.
Yeah, like a dumbass.
Yeah.
It's fun to say.
Yeah. Dumb cuff.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas is going to make bogey on the 18th hole. He hit it in the water, but he's going to get up and down after his drop, and he will be one off the course record.
Yeah. So it'll be four over for the tournament. What's that put him like?
Four under for the tournament.
Four under for the tournament. That puts him at like what, seven back? Leader at 11?
Seven back, yep.
All right.
Yeah, but he had a day.
Yeah, he did.
10 under on the day.
He had a chance to go course record. You know that that will haunt him. I mean, he looked like he was ready to stab someone in the face after he hit that thing on the drink.
That is golf right there. Is he will shoot.
It's a round of his life.
A 62 and think only about the one shot he put in the water.
And he'll stew on that for years.
Yes, he'll always remember that. Now this, Hideki has to make this to make the cut. And Buckley and I have a little writing on him, too, so...
I love me some Matsuyama.
This better go in. I don't think he hit it.
I don't think he got it.
He's going to warm up the jet back to Japan.
Sorry, Hideki.
Well, good little college basketball day today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was fun for the Ducks for a brief moment.
They lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, the nice run at the start of the second, and then...
This is... Okay, how much of the game did you get to see?
I saw about half of it.
Yeah. I didn't watch all of it, but what I saw, freaking, oh my God, drawing a blank.
Coach or player?
The Shellstad.
Okay, I was like, are we going Michigan State or are we going Oregon?
Yeah, team pursuit. Yeah.
Shellstad went 0 for 6 and behind the arc.
I have never seen a better player that can suck more at times.
There is an inconsistency there that hurts.
There's a good Shellstad and a bad Shellstad. Yeah. And the bad Shellstad is awful. Mm-hmm. And he was awful today.
Yeah. 4 for 11, 0 for 5 from the field, 8 points.
Biddle was great.
Yeah, Biddle was great. I mean, he was there. Look, they were right there. They cut it, I think, what, 43-44. And then they went almost 6 minutes. It was like 5:40, 5:30 without a bucket. Michigan State goes on a 15-0 run, and then they never were within basically 10 the rest of the way, which is a little bit how the first one went. The first game, they played them tough.
Yeah, they were lights out in the first half of the first
one. And then in the second half, Michigan State just pulled away. And I hate to say it, but and this is what I was wondering about Oregon. Like, Oregon's probably going to be a 5 seed, maybe a 6 seed. And Oregon's good. Oregon can win a game or two in this tournament. And you look at that run that they were on leading up to this when they were playing their best ball. My question was, outside of Wisconsin, which they came roaring back, right? They were down, I think, 17 in that game, came back. Shellstad hit a ridiculous 3 to send it in overtime, and then they pulled it away in overtime. Outside of that, their wins were Northwestern, which was ugly. Northwestern scored 50 points and a half on them. Rutgers, Iowa, which was shaky down the end. USC, Indiana, Washington, who's just god-awful. And the Washington game was a nail-biter. And then you beat Indiana again, and then Michigan State. And Michigan State beat you by 10. It just feels like Michigan State's 10 points better than you. So my question becomes, we know Oregon's good. We know Oregon's a tournament team. I just think that there is probably a 10-point difference between the Michigan States of the world and the Oregons. I don't think that there is enough there to really think that this is a team that makes a really deep run.
If Shellstad can be more consistent and hit shots,
that's a
huge if, and probably it's probably a no.
Yeah.
But if he has two good games, then you're on to the Sweet 16.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of it's about matchups too. I mean, their offense, I don't trust their offense a bit.
Nor should you.
Against better teams. But at the same time, they can play with anybody.
Yeah. But, you shoot, and this happens a lot. When Oregon shoots 20% from the three-point line, I mean, it's hard to win. Unless you're Gonzaga that shot like 7% in the West Coast Tournament title game. That usually is a killer for you.
But hey, look, I think a lot of people wrote him off.
Yeah.
Altman saved the season again, and they've got a shot.
Yeah.
They'll probably be a 6 seed, maybe?
Yeah, they said somewhere, but the idea was, depending on what happens in this one, somewhere between the 4 and the 6, what does this do to you? Like, this certainly doesn't bump you to a 4. Does it keep you at a 5, or does it drop you to a 6? So,
yeah, I don't know.
But they're in there.
But look, this is where money's made. You know, if Shellstad heats up, like Buck said, just a couple of games, 2-3 games,
yep.
You make yourself some dough.
Yeah. Need something, because they just have to have, and Biddle's a nice player, and he was, again, by far their best player today and kept him in the game. But, no offense to Nate Biddle, who's a hell of a college player. Nate Biddle is not going to lead you to the promised land. in this tournament.
Not with hair like that.
No. You are going to need something out of your guards. You're yeah, going dang, to need a better think? Effort than that. So, and again, you can't shoot 20% from behind the arc.
Did you see so they lost. It was, I think, what, 74-64 or something?
Yeah, that's right.
And Michigan State looks pretty good. Yeah. I mean, that's a good team.
They look very good.
Well, some people think if Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament, they're going to be probably a 2 seed. Some people are asking the question, if they win the Big Ten, is that enough to get you a 1? Mm-hmm. Probably not, but...
I don't think so. Unless the Cooper Flag thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you do with Duke? If let's just say for argument's sake, and there's, you know, they're favored by 7 still, so yeah. They should win today, Duke. But without Flag and Brown,
if it looks bad,
yeah. If they lose today,
do you drop
are they
them
off the 1 line?
I don't know.
If you don't know Flag's status,
well, we know in the football tournament, we'll kick you to the curb with an injury. I don't know. I think you'd have a hard time bumping Duke because we don't know if Flag's going to play or not. We don't know what the status is. Duke has been, that's a bold move.
And it's a slippery slope to bump him down thinking he might not play and then watch him play and you've punished him for something that didn't even happen.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you get drilled by North Carolina.
I mean, they are the number one team.
Exactly. So, like, you're not getting bumped off the 1.
Yeah. So the teams that are on the 1 right now are pretty firm. It's Duke, Houston, Auburn, and Florida.
Yeah.
Auburn won today. We'll see what Houston and Florida do, although Houston has to take on Richie Saunders, tater tot boy.
4 o'clock today.
So they
beat him by 31 last time. So.
If one of those bows, I don't know. I don't see Michigan State getting a 1, but they're pretty good. Anyway, I was reading Wall Street Journal had this. Did you know the Ducks traveled? So this says, since their season began in November, the Ducks have crisscrossed the country so frequently that the total distance they've traveled this season is 26,700 miles. Huh. That is the equivalent of traveling the entire circumference of Earth and then adding on a few thousand miles for good measure.
Well, I'll be damned. All right. Well, who was it? Who was bitching about this earlier that was crying?
Oh, it was both of the LA schools. Yeah, Cronin was, and so was Musselman.
Yeah. Musselman.
Yeah, they were...
And then Altman was just like, well, we knew what we signed up for.
Exactly.
I heard him talk about it again last night, and he said, we addressed this with our team one time. At the beginning of the season, we said how it's going to be. We said how we're going to embrace it. We said how our school and our program is going to get us prepared to do it. And then we're just going to go along with it and pretend like it's any other schedule.
Well, there's a couple things that happened. Well, by the way, just for perspective, they traveled over 26,000 miles. Mm-hmm. You know what they traveled last year?
What?
7,327.
This does seem like
more than tripled, almost quadrupled.
More than tripled their travel.
Bit of a jump.
The only team that traveled more in all of college basketball this season was Stanford.
ACC West Coast team, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But a couple of things happened. One is in the Big Ten, and I didn't know this, but in this article it pointed out that in the Big Ten, you have to have 2 days in between games.
Mm-hmm.
So when they would travel, like say they would go back east, they wouldn't make them go east, then back home, and then back for another
day.
You just stay out there, but you had to stay an extra day as opposed to being in another conference where you could play, say, Wednesday, Friday. You couldn't do that in the Big Ten. You'd have to stay the extra day. And so then they were talking about how many days of school they missed to the point where I think it's pointing to all the Oregon players taking all online classes because of their travel schedule this year.
Which... Well, that does suck, but at the same time, can we be honest? How many big-time Division I basketball players and football players are really grinding away as a biology major and are in labs? I mean, that does suck. Don't get me wrong, but...
Well, they handled it well.
They handled it well.
They were pretty good on the road, and like I said, you know, Altman didn't really make an excuse about it.
Yeah.
The other thing that helps them is they charter everything, so they don't have to...
Well, and that's what I'm saying, too. It's like...
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Never any delays, never any luggage problems.
And I'm looking... It looks like from like here to Detroit, you're looking at 5 hours. So, you know, I mean, that sucks. But...
Never a layover.
You're on a private jet. You're not crammed into seats. Everyone's got a big seat. While it sucks...
Look, that's a lot of miles.
It's a lot of miles.
That's a lot of travel.
It's a lot of miles. It's a lot of travel. I just don't know if it is the end all, the be all. Like, this is just the nature of, I mean, it's like being in the NBA, right? If you're the Portland Trailblazers, this is what you have to do. And again, you knew when you signed up in the Big Ten, you knew what you were getting yourself into.
Yeah, well, they're out of the Big Ten. They're leaving it.
They're done after 1 year.
They're going to the West Coast Conference.
Ah, yes.
Less travel.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they want that paycheck. Because eventually what the Big Ten payout's like, what, 80, 90 million bucks? And the Pac-12, the new Pac-12 payout's going to be about 8 to 10. Ah.
What else do we have today? Most of the good stuff is tonight. But
yeah.
Auburn won again.
That was close. That was on at the gym. I was keeping
an eye on
that.
How about Wisconsin? Hammering UCLA.
Yeah, they drilled them.
Speaking of Auburn, did you see Bruce Pearl's on-air slip-up?
No.
After the game, he was asked about his players and his guard play specifically, and he said his guards aren't peas, but he said the full word.
Oh.
Right there on ESPN.
Well, I like that. Go Bruce Pearl. Yeah, but we got Marquette St. John's is tipping off like any moment. We got Illinois, Maryland, Carolina, Duke, BYU, Houston.
Yeah, we got
Purdue, Michigan. Kentucky, Bama.
Carolina, Duke.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it right now. North Carolina beats them.
Well, didn't you take Carolina in the points?
I did.
All right.
But I think Carolina beats them.
I got the points, and I sprinkled the money line.
Duke's going down.
Yeah, someone asked, did the Ducks get freaking flyer on that? Can you get some reward points on that?
No, it's chartered, man. It's all private. I wonder what that looks like, though. I'd like to see what they've got, how that works. You know?
I bet you it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Well, we chartered flights in college, but ours aren't. I mean, we would charter big planes that weren't specifically for the team. We just chartered normal planes. So everyone would basically get like their own row. I'm guessing for a basketball team, I'm guessing that is a smaller jet with big seats. I'm guessing Oregon does not skimp. I'm guessing that's a pretty nice plane.
All right, up next, the idea of relegation in American sports has resurfaced. Here's Buck.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
All right, we'll get to our relegation story in a moment. We have a little late-breaking news in the sports world.
Yeah.
Good news.
I think it's okay news.
Depending on who you're a fan of. But the news is that the Seahawks have signed Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. The homecoming for the Eastern Washington Native.
I'm just reading he's from Yakima.
Yeah.
Do you know who else is from Yakima? Do you know the other most famous people from Yakima?
I do not. I'm not familiar. When I drive through Yakima, as I've done to take my son to school, it's very depressing, and I don't see a lot of home of blank.
He was born there. The great Sam Kinison.
Oh. Well, I can't say any of that.
How about that?
He's from his home there? Or just...
Now that I don't know.
I don't really think of Yakima when I think of Sam Kinison, but okay.
He was born in Yakima in 1953. Hmm. The family moved to East Peoria, Illinois when Kinison was 3 months old.
Yeah, so.
So can he claim Yakima?
I don't
Yakima?
Think you can claim Yakima.
Well, he's dead. He can't really claim anything.
No, but as long as.
You're not giving him that?
No.
You're not saying that Sam Kinison is Yakima's own?
No.
You're not saying that?
No. You moved it 3 months?
Yeah, he was 3 months old.
Come on. And I'm guessing he never went back. Like, I moved from Anchorage when I was young, but I went back every year. So my dad still lived there. And even me, like, I can't necessarily claim Anchorage as my home.
You don't tell people you're from Alaska.
What?
You don't tell people you're from Alaska.
No, I was born there. I spent a lot of my childhood there, but I'm from here.
So where you're from is defined by what?
That's where you
grew up. You spent the, well, what if you had multiple?
Well, it's tough because that's like the BTJ has this, my gal. So she split time between Japan, Texas, and Chicago. So she kind of says.
So what does she claim?
Well, she'll just say all over.
Well, but what if we had to define it? Where is she from?
I think you spend the form. I'm going to say middle school to high school is where you got to claim that you're from.
So where is she from? You don't know, do you?
Japan.
Japan?
Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. She's from Nagoya.
It's no Yakima.
No.
But it'll do.
Yeah. Well, and I just hope Seahawk fans, like this is, these are.
They're going to love this one.
I know.
This is one where you talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there is disproportionate reaction to some of these moves.
Yes.
Sometimes we get too high. Sometimes we don't like it enough. Sometimes it's a sneaky good signing that fans are just like, whatever. But this one is going to be one that's pretty good. Depending, I didn't see the contract numbers. Did you?
I haven't seen it.
They're not out there.
No, Tom Pelissero had this like literally 6 minutes ago. I haven't seen.
I mean, it's pretty good, but it's not. I think fans are going to be like, oh yeah, this one's amazing. And it's, I mean,
I'll say this. I'm if I had to bet, just throwing out a wager. Midway through the year, Seahawks fans, and again, depending on the contract, they're going to be like, what the hell?
3 years, $80
million. Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
How much guaranteed?
I'm looking for the guaranteed number. I don't see it yet.
Okay.
Wow.
Boy, that's a...
How old is he now?
He's 31, going to be
32. An eight-year veteran?
And I don't know how many times I have to tell people this. Do not sign 30-plus year receivers to third contracts. It does not end well. I think since if I'm not mistaken, I think there's been like 2 30-plus receivers to sign and have a 1,000-yard season. It just doesn't end well. And this is why I'm saying, like, you're going to hear Cooper Kupp and people are going to get excited. Dude, Cooper Kupp the last 3 seasons, and it's not just numbers. Let me also point out the fact that if you go back to his 28-year season, which was 2021, that's when he was the Triple Crown winner. Receptions, yards, touchdowns, they win a Super Bowl, right? Since then, he has played 9, 12, and 11 games.
Oh, bad number. 3 for 45.
Okay. Thank God.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, I don't know if there was I don't know who was reporting that, dude, or if incentives were involved or what.
I about had a heart
45.
Attack. I was like, oh my God.
So, well, the report was that he wanted 15 a year.
Yeah. And I'm guessing, so at 45, I'm guessing 25 guaranteed.
Or 30.
Somewhere in there.
30.
So the last 3 years, 9, 12, and 11 games. Obviously, the numbers have gone down from 145 catches to 75 to 59 to 67. And touchdowns from 16, now 6, 5, 6. It's not just that. You have to look at the larger picture. He is getting open last year. When you look at Warren Sharp does this with some of the advanced statistics, he was one of the 5 worst receivers last year at getting open. He's just not open. He doesn't separate anymore. They call it successful catch, percentage. So basically first down, second down, third down, what sort of the percentage of the yards you need to gain on those catches. Through most of his career, he was one of the best in the NFL. He was in the high 60s. The last 2 years, he's below 50%. So even the catches that he's getting aren't they're not meaningful catches. That means you're getting 3 yards on first down. When it's third and eight, you're catching the ball for 4 yards. Yards after catch isn't there. Catch percentage, like catchable balls that are going your way. It's just his targets. Everything the last 3 years in the Rams organization has been Cooper Kupp on a significant downturn, which is why the Rams, it was never an option to bring him back. Does that tell you something that the Rams, who are a really good organization and have won a Super Bowl with him, homegrown there, right? Said he wanted to play his entire career there. It was never an option to bring him back. They didn't even want to restructure. The Rams just said, hey, man, you're either going to take a trade or we're just going to outright release you. That should tell you something about what the Rams are viewing here. They didn't want him as a third option. So while this can still be a productive player, at 32 years old and the last three seasons that he's had from an injury standpoint and from an analytics standpoint, there is nothing. Oh, and by the way, he's about to go to an offense that, you know.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think a lot of it's how they scheme for him.
Yes.
You know. You've got Smith and Jigba, and you've got Valdes-Scantling.
Yeah, so Cooper will be the number two guy, right? But with Smith and Jigba, obviously they're going to run the ball more. I don't think he's going to get 100 targets. I just want people to be braced for this, that historically speaking, going to new offense, not necessarily going to be a great offense. We don't know what to expect out of Sam Darnold, and he is on a three-year path to being washed, which is kind of what happens to receivers when they turn 29, 30, 31. If he finds a way to turn this around, and you can do it. Adam Thielen did this, right? Adam Thielen looked like he was done. And then he goes to Carolina, and there's been a nice little resurgence there. He's not the old Adam Thielen. So this can happen. But this would be a major outlier if Coop has a resurgence at his age and in this offense. So I just hope Seattle's realistic fans are realistic about what Cooper Kupp is walking through the door. Because I think it's a nice little get. I think it's a very low risk. I think you probably paid too much, but you probably had to pay a premium for it because there's not a lot of receivers out there. I'm just not certain that this is going to be one that makes any sort of real difference for Seattle other than it gets fans excited.
Would you rather have Geno and DK for $70 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
Or Darnold and Kupp for $40 million a year?
I'll take Darnold and Kupp. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for, I think, a fairly mediocre situation. And so I think I'd rather take the less money. And that's the weird part is I think Geno and DK, I don't think, they're better. They're better than Darnold and Kupp, but I don't think either one of them gets you where you want to go. So why not take the one that's a little bit cheaper? That's probably 80% of what you're getting from Geno and DK. It's just a weird offseason for Seattle. Again, it goes back into that. I don't think you're any better off today. In fact, I think you're slightly worse than you were.
They're just different.
They're different. It's just exactly. You weren't a contender before. You're not a contender now. And so I just asked the question, what's the long-term plan other than just to tread water and win 9 or 10 games, but not really be competitive against the elite teams?
I think it seems to me that the long-term plan is to get McDonald's guys in there.
Yeah.
The guys
that have concepts of a plan
that he likes.
Yeah.
You know, DK was a problem.
Yes.
As good as he was,
Schneider yesterday?
No.
So Schneider came out and he kind of, in his own way, threw DK and Geno under the bus and simply said, dude, we wanted him back. And he said flat out, DK did not want to be here. He said, DK, for whatever reason, he said, you have to ask him. He didn't want to be here, plain and simple. And with Geno, he said, we wanted Geno back. We made Geno a contract offer, and he basically didn't respond to it. He said Geno never requested a trade, but he said, we figured out early on that this was not going to be something that we could get done, which means they had a finite number for Geno Smith, a number said, this is what we're comfortable with. And when Geno and company just said no, they didn't even counter, he said, we had to pivot immediately because we had to get on the Darnold thing. So that goes to show you that while they wanted DK and they wanted Geno, they knew that they weren't going anywhere with those guys. So they set a hard limit. And when they knew that that wasn't going to happen, move on.
All right. Cooper Kupp is now a Seahawk. Coming up next, relegation in the ACC on The Fan. Nice to have you along. Hello. What are you guys doing out there?
Just sportsing.
And it makes me sad.
So much hoops.
Yeah, the real good hoops are about to get underway. We've got white versus black. BYU v. Houston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's about 4 o'clock, so just a few minutes away.
Yeah. And then we got North Carolina Duke. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be talking about jersey colors. You were actually talking about skin color.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not afraid to say it.
No.
Look, it's the white guys versus the black guys.
Do we really have to wonder black, which please, side has the whites? I mean, come on.
Well, you guys have a couple black guys.
We do.
Black, please. Thank you. I don't think Houston has a white guy.
I have told the story before when I was a senior, we played Mississippi State. And when we went out there for the opening snap, we were waiting for the ref to blow the whistle and tell us it's time to go. We had one black player on our offense, and they had one white player on their defense. I was trying to negotiate a trade. Just so that we could have it balanced out, but they weren't interested in it. they didn't want to. Brian McDonald, who was a great dude, and then he got mad at me for trying to trade him to Mississippi State. I just thought it'd be kind of fun to have, you know. Has that ever happened? Has there ever been a major D1 football game where all 11 players on one side were white and the 11 on the other side were black?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think that would have been one of one.
Maybe like an old school program facing an HBCU or something like that.
Yeah. Look, I get it. Like in the 1950s.
Well, but not recently.
Like 2000, for God's sakes.
Could you mix in a black?
We did. One.
Black, please. Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking here. I don't think Houston has a black or a white guy.
Yeah.
And their head coach is black. And your head coach is white.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a battle of the races.
Look, it's basically a game of chess at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's big.
Well, I don't know if you know this about sports, but I don't bet on the white guy. Although I did. I'm getting 7.5.
You did. You said you did.
My alma mater, you know.
I'm not touching that game.
I put 10 bucks on it. It's like, whatever.
You bet on the white guy with points. There's a difference.
Exactly. 7. Look, they beat us by 31 last time. I'm hoping it's within 15. If you can keep it within 8, great.
Aren't you hoping within 8?
Well, again, it was 10 bucks. It was more of, this was more of a in good spirit. I'm betting on my guys. And
the color white to me just always works.
See what happens.
I wish I could have more white things.
I'm not delusional about what's about to happen, all right?
I bet it's a good game.
I hope so.
Then we got North Carolina Duke and all that. You know, the ACC is crap this year.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, well, Duke was awesome.
Yeah.
But outside of that, North Carolina was down. They've been hot lately, but they're barely.
Yeah, for a while there, they were squarely on the bubble, although most people think they're in
now, but they were barely even in the tournament a while back. And then Clemson is good. And then after that, dude, it's... Louisville's
top 15, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but they're not that great. I mean, it's there's like 50 teams in that league.
It's a lot of bad. Well,
it's a lot of bad.
Miami a couple years ago was like a Final Four team, and I think they won like 3 games. Dude, they're absolute dog mess, and their coach walked away. I mean, they're all kinds of bad. Virginia sucks now.
The Stanford coach, who is the old Washington State coach, Kyle Smith, I think that's his name, Kyle Smith?
That's right. I believe you are correct.
Yeah. He has brought up the idea of relegation in the ACC because what's happening is, so you've heard of net rankings and quad one wins and all this crap, all this rigmarole that fans are like, what the hell's that?
Yeah.
But it's basically the ACC's net ranking sucks because they're playing so many of the bad teams in that league.
Yeah, and it's dragging them down. So whether you win or lose against them, it doesn't really matter. No one cares if you beat, a 4-win team.
So the quad one, I don't even know how many quads there are. I think, well, obviously there were 4, but quad one is like a win against a top whatever team. Quad two, less or so, and so on down the line. Well, when you only have basically 2 good teams in your league, nobody has any opportunity for quad one wins.
Yeah.
So his idea is to split the ACC, and he says he's talked to the commissioner about this. They're listening to him about this. Split it into 2 9-team divisions, and the top teams play each other more, therefore giving them more chance for quad one wins.
Makes sense.
And then he said the bottom team from the top division
swaps
goes down for the next season, and the top team in the bottom division moves up. which this year would have been Florida State and Notre Dame.
So this would be one spot that gets...
Just one.
One that gets shifted.
Yeah, but it's not a bad idea because it allows you to play more... Hopefully, get more quad one wins, which you need for the tournament.
Yeah, for instance, they take a team like Stanford that's 20-13 on the year, right? Like that, or SMU, North Carolina, all those teams that are 20-23 wins. There's a bunch of teams that are like that, and it comes down to what's your schedule look like, you know? And I can see that. I can see the argument.
So you'd get more cracks at Duke and Clemson and Louisville if you're in the upper division.
Although, does it make an argument, though, that instead of being a 22-win team, maybe you're a 19-win team because you're playing better teams?
Well, yeah, but if you miss the tournament either way,
it doesn't matter, right?
You just got to win those. If you have more opportunities at bigger games, that's what you need to get
more,
in.
Yeah, more bites at the apple.
So I think it's relegation comes up in American sports from time to time. People talk about it all the time with college football realignment or whatever.
Yeah.
And, it definitely works in soccer. I think it's an interesting idea.
Well,
and we, for some reason over here, we just can't wrap our heads around it.
Well, let's be fair. This isn't that. This is not regular. We're not doing that here. This is a one, you're still in the same conference.
It's splitting conference into tiers.
Your schedule changes. The reason why we'll never do this here is because of guaranteed money, right? No one, like all these budgets... work on that. We are making guaranteed X amount of dollars, and especially in the collegiate ranks, those margins are so thin, it'll never happen. I mean, in professional sports, we don't, because there's no lower division, right? We don't have a lower football league. We don't have a lower Major League Baseball league. Like the Tacoma Rainiers are not moving up. That's, it's a AAA team. So there is no minor leagues in any professional sport to have this happen.
Well, college.
And in college, you can't do it again because no school that is worth its sand would ever agree to this because, again, you're working on guaranteed budgets. And with the margins being as thin as they are, you couldn't do this. So this is one way, but it's you're literally talking about one team, and it's not a revenue thing. It's just a matter of your schedule changes slightly. But no one would ever sign up for the idea of – imagine like Big Ten, right? And you're talking about an $80 million payday. And if you have a bad year or two, you go from $80 million down to $10 million. Like you can't even make that adjustment. And by the way, it's not as if that $80 million is just paying for one sport. It's paying for all sports. So you're having to divvy that up way more than a soccer team having to in Europe. So while it's an interesting idea because they do it in Europe, the structure of the sport that this is in and the nature of it, we don't have anything remotely like that in the United States that we could do this.
All right. We've got the latest on Aaron Rodgers. What is going on with Aaron Rodgers?
Does he have a latest, or is he whiny little you-know-what?
There is a report of the latest.
Aaron Rodgers is a little
bitch.
We're
waiting on something, okay. And we'll get to that next on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.